This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
There's a campaign gathering traction online right now and across the country, calling for a life-changing medication to be made available in Ireland. 28-year-old Emily Felix, who is living with a rare neuromuscular condition called Friedreich's ataxia, is calling for the government to make the drug Skyclarys available in Ireland. This treatment has been approved in other countries and could help slow the progression of the condition. And Emily joins us now to tell us more about her story and what she feels needs to be done. Emily, thank you so much for joining me on the show this evening. You are living currently with Friedreich's ataxia, which is, of course, a rare progressive condition. For people who might not know about it, what exactly is it and how is it affecting your day-to-day life?
Yeah, Friedreich's ataxia, it's a rare progressive genetic condition that slowly destroys basically your nervous system. So it's a systemic condition that will slowly affect every piece of your body and internal organs. So your heart is affected, your eyesight, your hearing, your mobility, your speech, your swallow. Everything you can think of is affected. And when I was diagnosed myself, I was diagnosed when I was 12 in my first year of secondary school. And prior to that, I had a very normal childhood. I didn't really show symptoms until the age, I'd say, of maybe 9 or 10, and towards the end of primary school. And it was small things at the start, like where balance and wobbliness, and finding it hard to keep up with my classmates at sports and activities like that. And we did notice it getting gradually worse, and we knew something was wrong. So after speaking to a few private specialists, we were encouraged to go further, and eventually we did, after blood tests and neurological tests, it probably took almost a year to get an official diagnosis of Friedreich's ataxia. So since that diagnosis, my life has changed just over and over again. It's getting used to losses every single year. So mobility was the first hard part, but I also had aggressive scoliosis. So I had to have three spinal surgeries, one after another. So that was a very painful, horrendous time in my life. And then what else might... My heart is affected, so it's something I'm always conscious of. I have cardiomyopathy, and it's mild at the moment, luckily for me, because it isn't the case for a lot of people with Friedreich's. But I know, like everything else, it will progress. The condition, Friedreich's ataxia, it's relentless and it won't pause. It won't stop for anyone. It'll keep destroying you bit by bit, and you've no control over it, no matter what you do.
Hearing you speak there is just, it's just so heartbreaking that that's what you've been dealing with. And I know that it is quite... like it's quite rare in Ireland. There's not that many people living with Friedreich's ataxia. When you were being diagnosed, was this as much of a surprise in that you didn't even know what this condition was for you and your family when that was what it was being called?
Yeah, when I was told the news that you have Friedreich's ataxia, I didn't know what that meant. So I suppose I wasn't shocked. I wasn't sad because I didn't understand. I didn't know what that meant for my life. I was looking at my parents and I was looking at the neurologist who had just told me the news, and I could see on their faces, like, this is not good. This obviously doesn't have a good consequence for my life. But I didn't understand at the time. I think it took me a long time to realize that it was my story, that it was affecting my life, and that it wasn't just something that I was looking at on the outside, that it was impacting my life. And over time, I could see the changes in my body, and I could see my body slowly veiling me bit by bit. So it's a condition, I think, unless you have it, you'll never truly understand what it means and the consequences that come with it. You can look online like a lot of people do when you're given any kind of diagnosis, and you get a lot of scary information online. I remember looking up shortly after diagnosis, and I had information about life expectancy in mid-30s. And I remember at the time I was 12, so I was kind of thinking, okay, I have a bit of time, that maybe it's not too bad. But now I'm 28, and I'm looking back at the innocence of that and how I even thought that was even okay to deal with at that age. I also remember looking up videos, seeing people struggling to speak, and being confined to powered wheelchairs, and it was very scary looking at as a 12-year-old. And again, I didn't truly understand that that was what my life was going to become. But over time, yes, you have no choice but to come to terms with the reality.
I know you've been campaigning for a medicine called Skyclarys. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. But what exactly is it? What does it do? And why is it really important to you right now?
Yeah, so Skyclarys came about, it was approved in 2023 in the USA, and that followed with European approval the year after in 2024. And basically the drug, it's not a magic pill, it's not a cure, it's not gonna reverse the abilities that people across the country have lost. But what it does is it preserves the abilities we have remaining, and it slows down progression. Lots of studies have showed it slows progression by up to 50%, which is hugely significant. Like that means holding on to your voice for much longer than would be the case. And it means preserving a bit of independence. And for me anyway, I go to the gym twice a week. I really work hard on maintaining lower limb strength as well as upper arm strength. So like it would mean that I'm not doing this in vain, that I can hold on to some of my abilities that I'm working so hard to keep. It would assist me, and it would give me and the 200 others a quality of life, and it would give us dignity.
Yeah.
Living with this condition, you lose a lot of dignity over time, having to ask for help for simple things that you wouldn't even consider. But having this drug would give us dignity, and it would give us time to live our lives, to pursue ambitions and dreams, to travel like our friends, just have a normal life, like to actually live lives instead of surviving in bodies that keep deteriorating year on year.
The latest I have on this, Professor Michael Barry, Director of the National Centre for Pharmacoeconomics, was speaking on Primetime last week. I know that you appeared on that as well. He said it could cost €280,000 a year per patient. There are currently discussions, it seems to be going on between the companies and the NCPE about cost. And that seems to be the sticking issue, is cost, from what I can gather. How does that make you feel when cost is being mentioned about something when you're looking at life, at living, at quality of life?
Yeah, no, it's really, really, really hard to hear for these conversations to become so dominated just by cost. And there's no focus at all of the human cost of not doing anything. So no one is looking at what not approving this drug is going to do to those 200 people in the country. They're not looking at the lost mobility, the lost voices, the lost independence, the lost future of all these people. It's sickening to hear that it's all to do with costs, and especially living in Ireland, we're such a wealthy country. We have €9 billion surplus just sitting there for a rainy day. Like, what kind of country allows 200 people, 200 citizens to slowly deteriorate and be trapped in a body that progressively stops cooperating with them while they have a €9 billion surplus just sitting there? Like, what is the rainy day they're waiting for? And also, I would say there's a €4 billion budget towards drugs in Ireland, and less than 1% of that budget is put towards drugs for rare diseases. So, like, what hope is there for us? It shows that people with rare conditions aren't worthy, that we aren't worthy of being treated like everyone else in the country. So, what we're asking for is not an unlimited amount of money spent on us, but just a fairer share of that budget. We deserve to be considered as equal to everyone else in this country.
The public have been really rallying behind you and others, who have been campaigning at the minute. I know you had Aoife Quinn on a number of weeks ago as well, and that petition that's been circulating seems to have generated, I think it's nearly up to 15,000 signatures right now.
So almost 16,000 now. Yeah, just in the last few days. Yeah. No, it's been amazing. Like,
yeah. And does that make you, is that any small consolation in all of this, that it's not just the 200 of you who have this condition that are fighting for this, that there's more people joining your cause?
Yeah, I think it really gives me hope. And also, I think people are realising, like, yes, it's a rare disease, but rare diseases don't discriminate. Anyone can have a rare disease. Anyone's brother, sister, child, anyone can have a rare disease. It currently affects 1 in 17 people in Ireland. So, like, a rare disease isn't actually that rare. And that's a point I would love for people to realise, that we don't need your sympathy. We don't need you to sit down and say, oh, that's sad, that's a sad story, but that'll never happen to me. Because it can happen to anyone. I certainly didn't think I'd be in this situation, and my family certainly didn't think they'd have to fight for the things that I haven't to fight for. But it can happen to anyone. And I think the public are realising that too, and they're realising that we are humans. We deserve compassion, and we deserve the government to treat us ethically as their fellow citizens of Ireland.
if someone's listening right now, whether it be a policymaker or a layperson who's not involved in politics at all, how can they support you right now and those living with Friedreich's ataxia?
Yeah, well, I think speaking up for what is right will always be important, and sharing our stories, and sharing the facts that I have been saying, like the 9 billion euro surplus, or the unfair share of the rare disease budget. Like, these are all facts that can't be just ignored. Like, we need explanations, and we need to be considered fairly. At the moment, we're being treated just with such inequality. It's very hard, but I do have hope, and I think that's the most I can ask from anyone, is use their voice, and use their voice to help me and the 200 people in the country.
Well, Emily, I am so privileged to have been able to chat to you this evening and hear your story and help you tell your story to more and more people across the region. And I thank you so much for joining me on the show. And truly, I do hope that things significantly improve over the next while, and that hope that you have leads to something really, really powerful. So thank you for joining me on the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
This is iRadio's
Group Chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.